Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Gimel. We're holding on daf Kuf Mem Beis and Beis. We're at the two dots, about 7 lines into the wide lines on daf Kuf Mem Beis and Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Zchus Rufua Shleima for Meir Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. It's also sponsored by friends of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit in commemoration of his first yard site, Harav Baruch Tzvi Ben Ruvei Nassen Zichrono Levracha. And it's also sponsored by Joseph Streichler in honor of his birthday, which is today. Apologies, that was announced yesterday. His birthday is in fact today, so happy birthday. And it's also sponsored by Rosie and Mark Friedman, Lili Nishmas, Mark's mother, Rebbetzin Adelaide Friedman, whose first yard site was on the fifth day of Av. So we are holding on Daf Kuf Mem Beis Amud Beis. We are at the two dots, about 7 lines into the page. So the Gemara is now going to discuss the notion of a heter tiltal al yidei kikarotinok, that sometimes you have something that's muktzah and you introduce a baby or a loaf of bread into the mix, and all of a sudden you're going to be allowed to carry the item. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, on Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, is going to discuss cleaning off a table on Shabbos, considering that there are often muktzah items there at the end of the Su'uda. The Gemara is going to discuss whether our Mishnah follows the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda or the Shita of Rabbi Shimon on a few different fronts. And then we're going to finish the parak with a discussion about being metaltal the date pits on Shabbos, pits of dates that were eaten on Shabbos. Then we're going to Bez Hashem begin the 22nd parak of Masechta Shabbos. Then the Mishnah is going to give us a number of cases where there may be a chashash that you'll come to do schita. So a number of items that might be asked to do, a number of activities that might be asked on account of a chashash schita. And then the Gemara is going to discuss the notion of mashkin shazavu, of liquids that came out of fruits, and whether there is a chashash schita, whether there's a concern with these liquids, depending on the type of fruits. We're going to have three different categories of fruits. There are zeisim va'anavim that are primarily used for the juices. There are tutim v'rimonim that are used sometimes for juices and sometimes to be eaten. And then there is Shar Peros. So let's begin again at the two dots on Daf Kuf Mem Beis and Beis. Ma'os Shalakar Min Na'ir. So we said that if you have money that's on a cloth, that's on a pillow or a cushion, you could shake it off. So the Gemara discusses other situations where you have both a mukta item and a non mukta item, and you're therefore allowed to be metalta them together. So says Gemara, Am Rabbi Oshaya, Shachach Arniki B'chatzer. If a person left his wallet out in the chatzer and it's full of money and he doesn't want it to get lost or stolen, so maniachla ki karotino kumetaltala, he could put a loaf of bread or a baby on top of the arniki, and then he's allowed to be metaltalit. And this is a totally different heter than tiltal minatzad. You know, previously we were talking about taking an item of heter and being metaltal the muktza by moving the item of heter. Over here, that's not what you're doing. You're actually holding the muktza item itself, and the heter item is on top of the muktza item. It's a ki karotino that's on top of the arnaki. And the reason for this heter, the Rashba explains, is because we assume that the davra asa, the davra muktza, is completely tafel to the heter that is on top of it, meaning it's just serving as a cushion for the heter that's sitting on top of it. But this is a totally different heter, the Rashba points out, than the heter we've been working with until this point. Amar Rav Yitzchak, shachach levena b'chatzer. Similarly, if you forgot a brick in the chatzer and you can't bring it into your house because it's muktza, so maniach la kikarotina kumetaltala, you can bring it into your house. All you need to do is put a kikar or a tinok on top of the brick, and you can be metaltalit. Of course, the extra chiddush about a brick that we didn't have by an arniki is that a brick is not as expensive as an arniki, as a wallet full of money. And even then, we're going to allow a kikar or tinok. I'm Rav Yehuda bar Shila, I'm Rav Asi. One time they left a leather bag, a pouch full of money in a sratia. Sratia is a highway that goes from one city to the other. It's pretty much the definition of a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. So over here, this item was left in a Rishus HaRabim. Ubo v'sholos Rabbi Yochanan. So they asked Rabbi Yochanan, how can they possibly bring it to somewhere where it will be protected without running afoul of the Yisr of Muktza? V'amalen ha'nichwa la'kikar ha'tinok v'tiltalua. No problem, just put a kikar ha'tinok on it, and then you're going to be allowed to be metaltalit. Yeah, that solves the problem of Muktza. But Rashi points out it doesn't solve l'chora what the bigger problem is, and that is hotza'ah, that it's in Rosh Hashanah, they're going to be metalta, they're going to move it dalet amos in Rosh Hashanah. So what you have to assume is that he also advised them to do one of the old tricks of how to get around carrying an Rishus Rabim. Carry a pachos midalat amos. Make a mechitza of people around it and carry it through the mechitza of people that you've made all around it. All of these things are things that we don't do the chachila, but when there's going to be a hefsid gadol, when there's going to be a major hefsid, we could be mekel because it's not a violation of an issa daraisa in those cases. So Amar Marzutra, hilchsa kikola nishmeitza. We pass like everything that we just said. All of the cases we just had where we allowed being metaltel, they all work, but that's only bishocheach. That's only if you forgot the muktzah item in these unguarded places. But if you put them there on purpose, then you're not going to be able to utilize the heter of kikarotinok. Rav Ashi Amar afilu shachach nami lo. Now, even if you forgot it there, I'm still not comfortable with kikarotinok, says Rav Ashi. Lo amru kikarotinok el lemeis bilvad. There's only one circumstance where we allow kikarotinok, and that's with a mace that's mutal b'chama, that's out in the sun, and we're concerned of decomposition of the body, that the mace is muktzah, and it's a covered abrios issue, that we allow kikarotinok on the mace in order to move the mace. But stam, you forgot your wallet, that's not going to be enough to allow kikarotinok. So we have basically three shitos about when we can utilize kikarotinok. Either whenever you have a muktzah item that you have where you don't want it, or Mazutru says, no, only if it's a case of shocheach, but not a case where you put it there in the first place. Or it could be Marzutra is just qualifying the previous shita, and Rav Ashi who says never. You're never allowed to use kikarotinok except for a mace. So Abaye manach kapa akipi. Abaye once took a spoon, which is the equivalent of a kikarotinok, and put it on top of a harvested grain, which was muktzah, and then he moved the harvested grain. Rava manach sakina abaryona. Rava once had a bird meat that was not cooked and was therefore muktzah, and he wanted to move it, so he took a knife and he put it on the meat, and then he was metaltel the bird meat. So metaltela. Amar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef, who was the Rebbe of both Abaye and Rava, said, "Kama harifa shmeitza dedardiki." Look how sharp these kids are. These young children. So that's obviously not a respectful term to refer to them as. They were his talmidim. He was saying that they're not they're doing things that are illogical. He disagreed with what they were saying. He thought that he's saying they think they're such chachamim. Emor damar rabbanu b'shocheach. When does kikarotinok work? That's only if you forget the item there and you now need to put it to in a makom hamishtamer. But lechadchila miyamor, when you didn't forget it there and there's no hafsid mamon. So did anyone ever say that it's going to be mutra de kikarotinok? So what are Abaye and Rava thinking by putting an item of heter on top of these muktzah items and then moving them? So Abaye and Rava explain themselves. Amar Abaye ilav da adam chashavana. If not for the fact that I am an adam chashav, and therefore I need to be more machmir by things that are technically mutter, because whatever I do, people are going to do a few levels below me because they're going to assume that I'm very frum, so kapak, or that I'm very chashav, and therefore that I'm being machmir more than the din, kapak kipi lamali. So I wouldn't even need to put the spoon on top of the bundles of grain to allow them until because a chazul mizgalayu. These bundles are ra'oy on Shabbos, they're not muktzah. You could use them to lean on, to sit on, so therefore they weren't muktzah to begin with. I could have been metal to them straight. I just added the kli on top of them as an extra chumrah, because I think that as an adam chashav, I need to have some extra chumras. Amar Rava, ana ilav adam chashav. Ana, Rava says, and the same by me. If not for the fact that I am an adam chashav, sakina baryona lamali. I wouldn't need to put the knife on top of a baryona, because it's not muktzah to begin with. Why? Chazali lumtza, because I could eat it raw. It's not muktzah, and therefore I'm only doing it because I'm an adam chashav. I, Rav Yosef, why did Rav Yosef criticize them? Didn't he realize that they were only doing this because they're an adam chashav? So as some of the Acharim suggest in Shabbos Shalmi, he points out, yeah, that Rav Yosef realized that. But Rav Yosef was saying, what kind of message do you think you're sending people? You think people are now going to be more machmir? No, people are now going to think that these items are really muktzah, and that it's all mutral, even when it's not shocheach. So you even have to be careful in the kinds of chumras you take, that it shouldn't teach people the wrong kulas. So you have to be very careful with what you're going to be machmir with. See, a couple of things over here that Abaye and Rava were already anashim chashuvim at this point, that Rav Yosef referred to them as dardiki. That at a certain point you would think that they were Abaye and Rava, but he's their Rebbe, and they always have who to look up to. That they even when they've they've already been magia to the point where they're an adam chashuv, so they still have who to look up to. They still have Rav Yosef to be kafuf to, and Rav Yosef to be there to set them straight and to criticize them. You also see that this very important concept that an adam chashuv does have to take on an extra level of zihirus in a number of inyanim, because people will look at the adam chashuv and will typically do a few levels below what the adam chashuv does. In the last two Chag HaSmichas that we had in YU, we were supposed to have one this year, but because of Corona we didn't have one. In the last two that they had in the yeshiva, Rav Shachter spoke at each of the Chag HaSmichas, said the same thing. He told the Chevra, now you guys are Rabbanim, and now you have to realize that as Rabbanim, whether you are or aren't, everyone's going to view you as an Adam Chashuv, and as an Adam Chashuv, you need to be more Machmir than the Yikar Adin. You need to take on extra, you have to be extra careful in the way that you behave, because people will always assume that if the Rabbanim do this, then we can do a level or two below. So if you only follow the bare minimum of the Yikar Adin, then no one is going to, then others will follow along and will do even less than the Yikar Adin. So that's this notion that Abaye and Rava are suggesting. So it's not a violation of Gaiva to say, oh, I'm an Adam Chashuv. Adam Chashuv is not a statement, it's not a self-assessment. Adam Chashuv is the way that they understand that they are viewed, and therefore the way that other people are going to react to their behaviors. So that's why Abaye and Rava felt perfectly comfortable saying that they are an Adam Chashuv. So says Mar, wait a second. Rava said that the only reason he did this was because the meat wasn't muktzah anyway. Why wasn't this bird meat muktzah? Because it's chazi l'umtza. Because he could eat it raw. Says Gemara, time the chazi l'umtza, halo chazi l'umtza lo. Ooh, it could be medayik from Rava that if this meat were not edible raw, then it would be usher to be metaltel. Even though the raw meat is something that's ratui to feed to animals, he would have still assumed that it's muktzah. L'meimah d'Rava k'Rabbi Yehuda sfirulei? Does that mean that Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda that something that if you were to prepare it properly would be perfectly good for human consumption, and without any preparation is already ratui for animal consumption? That we do not view it as animal food; we view it as human food, which is unprepared and therefore muktzah, meaning if it was viewed as animal food, it wouldn't be muktzah. But no, this could be cooked and it could be delicious for human beings. So because of that, we view it as something that is not at all designated for an animal, and therefore it's going to be muktzah, because it's meant to be eaten by a human being. But didn't Rava once tell the Shamash and Yom Tov, roast for me a goose and throw the B'nai Me'ayim to the cat? And on Yom Tov, people don't typically eat B'nai Me'ayim because they have other more choice piece of meats to eat. So from the fact that Rava allowed being metaltel the part that's going to be fed to the cat for the sake of the cat, even though on Erev Yom Tov the B'nai Me'ayim are perfectly edible for human beings. So you see from there that Rava holds like Rabbi Shimon that something that's ra'i la'achilas adam is considered muchan le'balei chayim. We don't consider it to be muktzah for animals. So why does Rava have to say that the only reason you're allowed to be metaltel this raw meat, the raw bird meat, is because it's roi l'achila? You don't need that. It's mutar b'tiltel anyway, because an animal would eat it, and that's all Rava would require. So answers Gemara, no. Hasan kivin de misrach taite levei me'etmal. Over there, by the case of the b'nei me'ayim of the goose throwing it to the cat, since if you were to try to save it until after yantiv, it would likely get ruined. It would spoil. So we assume already on Erev Yantif he had planned on throwing it to the cat, and therefore it was Muchan Lebalechayim. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would not be Muktzah. Meaning, Einachinami, Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that something that's designated for a human being to eat is not considered Muchan Lebalechayim. And therefore, if it's inedible because it needs further preparation, it's inedible for a human being because it needs further preparation, it's Muktzah, because it's not Roy for the human, and it's not Ra'oi for the animal. But over here, this part of the goose was already designated to be fed to an animal from before Yantif, because they knew that they wouldn't be able to eat it on Yantif without it spoiling. And Achinami Mistavra D'Rava Rabbi Dusfirlei, it makes the most sense to assume that Rava follows the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the Darish Rava, Isha Lotikanis Lebesei Eitim Litulan Ud, a woman should not go into the storage facility where they keep the wood in order to take a spit of wood in order to stoke a coal within in the oven, because the eitzim we assume are meant for hasaka. They're meant as firewood, so you're not allowed to be metaltal them for something that they're not meant for. V'ud, and if you had a poker, shenishbar, that breaks on Yom Tov, asu la'asiko b'Yom Tov, you're not allowed to use it as firewood on Yom Tov, l'fisha masikin b'kelim, v'in masikin b'shivrei kelim. You're allowed to use for firewood kelim that are not muktza, that are mutter b'tiltul, but not kelim that broke on Yom Tov, because when Yom Tov started, there were kelim, and now in the middle of Yom Tov, they have a new usage, so they're considered muktza, and you're therefore not allowed to use them. So Shema Mina, so we see that Rabbi holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who asks in these situations, and whereas Rabbi Shimon would have been matir, because according to Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to use them for whatever you want, and even to take an ud to be to stoke a fire with, and anything that has a new sort of usage that just comes up on Yom Tov itself. According to Rabbi Shimon, there's no isra of nolad. So even shivrei kelim that break on Yom Tov, you'd be allowed to be masik. So you see that Rava holds like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Period. Now we move on to the Mishnah, the last Mishnah in the Perek. So says the Mishnah, when the Mishnah is going to discuss cleaning off a table from the various items that are left on the table at the end of a meal, which are mostly mukta items. That's no problem. You could take by hand, take the bones that are not ra'ui for Michael Kelev, Rashi understands, that are not even ra'ui to be fed to an animal, just remove them from the table. The shells of nuts or anything else that's not Roy the Michael Behema they have on the table, there's no Isser of Tiltul Muktzah. Beisil says, no, you pick up the tablecloth and you shake it out. They didn't have tablecloth. Tavla was like a board. So they would pick up the whole board that served as the table top, and they would just shake off the items. So they had to do Tiltul Menatzad in that way. They couldn't just remove the items from the table. As I mentioned, Rashi writes that when we talk about these Atzamos, Rashi says we're talking about Atzamos Kashim, hard bones that are not even ra'oi for achilas kelev. Tosafot however says that it can't be that's the case, because the Seifa says that you're allowed to remove only things that are royal l'machal behema from a table, and the Gemara is going to say that that's assuming like Rabbi Shimon. So it sounds like even Rabbi Shimon is moda that something that's not royal l'machal behema, you're not allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos. So Tosafot says no, we must be talking about those types of bones that are royal l'machal klavim. The Ritva points out that it could be that Rashi was a Tos Sofer over here, and Rashi never meant to say that it's not royal l'machal behema. It in fact is royal l'machal behema. Wow, so you have to believe that the Kashas and Rashi are strong if you're going to say that Rashi is the Tohu Sofer. That's not the typical first line of defense of a Rishon to say that it must be a typo. And in fact, those Svarim that are dedicated to defending Rashi cannot accept it. It can't be that Rashi is a typo. So the Magine Shlomo and the Pnei Yeshua, all those Svarim that normally defend Rashi, so they step up over here to explain Rashi as we have it without suggesting that it is a typo. Says the Mishnah further, Ma'avirin me'ala shulchan perurin, you could take crumbs of bread off of a table, pachos mikazayis, even though the crumbs are smaller than kazayis, or seir shel afugnin, you could take the stalks of a certain type of bean called afunim, usa'ar adashim, and also the stalks of adashim, of lentils, and all those are mutter betiltul b'breishu, machal behema, because they're all rotli from machal behema, and therefore it's not going to be a violation of muktza. So now the Mishnah is going to discuss, what about cleaning off a table with a sponge at the end of the meal? You want to really clean off a table. So svog, if you have a spongy material, some type of wool that could absorb liquid in it, im yeshlo or beis achiza, if it has a leather handle to it, so mekan chumbo, then you're allowed to clean off the table with it. But if the sponge has no handle on it, you just have to hold the sponge between your fingers, then you cannot be mekaneach with it. But either way, whether it has a beis achiz or not, it's not going to be muktza when it's dry. There's no chashash schita when it's dry, and it's considered a kli, and therefore you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Veinu mekabel tuma, and even though it's considered a kli, it's not going to be able to be mekabel tuma because it's not made out of those materials that are mekabel tuma. Meaning the fact that it's not mekabel tuma is not a function of it not being a kli in this instance. It's just not made up of the right material that is mekabel tuma, only kli eitz or beged or ar or sack or mateches are makabel tumah, and this is none of those things. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, it is a kli, and therefore it's not going to be muktzah. So we distinguish between a sponge that has a handle and a sponge that does not have a handle. L'chora, the problem with the sponge is that it's a chashash of schita, that you're going to squeeze something out of the sponge, you're going to squeeze liquid out of the sponge. So why would having a handle make it any better? So there's a major discussion in Poskim. It doesn't seem that having a handle would really solve the problem of schita. So there are two basic mahalchim. One mahalich is that it's only a violation midrabanan to begin with, and when it has a handle, it's considered to be a shinoy or kalachar yad or something like that, and therefore it's less of a concern. And the other possibility is that it takes away the psik resha element, that you can't get a good grip on it when it has a handle, and therefore you're not going to squeeze it really well where you could be certain that liquid is going to come out of it. L'may nafkamina, is there a chashash schita on a toothbrush? A toothbrush also has a handle, but when you squeeze out the liquid from a toothbrush, there's going to be, the liquid is going to be coming out when you use a toothbrush, a soaking wet toothbrush, liquid is going to come out from in between the bristles. So if you say anything with a handle is not a chashash schita, so then it's automatic, not a chashash schita, so good, so a toothbrush has a handle as well. But if you say no, it's a metzias issue, that the sponges that they had a handle on were sponges that wouldn't actually be sochet because it had a handle, whereas a toothbrush, we know that it's being sochet, so it wouldn't help that the handle's not going to help us in any way. It happens to be there are other reasons why it might not be a chashash schita. This was a major machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Moshe held that a toothbrush has a chashash schita and that it is a problem, whereas Rav Shlomo Zalman held for other reasons, not for the handle reason. For other reasons, Rav Shlomo Zalman held that it's not a problem of schita. And that's why the minhag in Eretz Yisrael was for many years, I assume still is, that on Shabbos they have this special Shabbos toothpaste that's a liquid, that they soak the toothbrush in the liquid and they brush their teeth with that. Rav Moshe would say, that doesn't make me happy, because if you're soaking it in a liquid, you're still going to have a problem of schita. You may have solved the problem of mimareach, that you don't have a toothpaste, but you've created a new problem of schita. So that's a machlokes Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Who is the author of our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, we said that according to Beis Shammai, you're allowed to just pick by hand, take off all the klipos fatzamos from the table, and there's no issur of muktzah. And Beis Hillel says, no, you got to lift up the whole tabletop and shake it off. Amram Nachman Anu Ein Lanu Ele Beis Shammai Rabbi Yehuda Beis Hillel Rabbi Shimon. We have a different tradition that Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who's more machmir on isurim of muktzah, and therefore would never allow you to pick off the atzamos and klipin by hand. Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon, who's more makil on tiltul muktzah, and would allow you to take the bones and the klipos off by hand. So the shitos in our Mishnah we're suggesting should be reversed, and Tosas points out, and that solves the mystery of why in the world this Mishnah doesn't appear in the fourth parak of Maseches Adios. In Maseches Adios, we have all the list of Mishnayos where Beis Hillel is more machmir. How come our Mishnah is not there in Maseches Adios? Isn't Beis Hillel being more machmir over here that you're not allowed, that you have to shake off the whole tabletop? Elamai, it must be that we have it backwards, and the Mishnayos and Adios knew that we had it backwards. So that's the question. Tosas says, can you say necessarily that the Mishnah Nedios is a raya, that our version of the Mishnah is incorrect? So he says, no, because whichever Tana taught Maseches Shabbos obviously thought our version was correct, and whichever Tana taught Maseches Nedios thought that version was correct. So we have two alternate versions of the Mishnah. Mavir me'al shulchan perurin. We then said you could take off the crumbs from the table, that when the crumbs are less than a kazayas, because we assume even though they're less than a kazayas and a person won't eat them anymore, they're now machil behema. Misayel el Rabbi Yochanan, dam Rabbi Yochanan, perurim shemem kazayas, asal abdam biyad. That even perurim that are less than a kazayas, you're not allowed to just throw them out. You have to remove them bederach kavod. That's why the Mishnah said ma'avirin from the shulchan machil perurim that don't have a kazayas. It didn't say zorkim perurim shemem kazayas, because there is an inyan of kavod apas, so you're not allowed to just totally destroy or discard bread. It has to be treated with some some level of respect. And the chiddush of our Mishnah, the way Rashi understands this Gemara, is that even when it's pachas mikazayis, you have that same inyan of covered up pas of respect that has to be shown to the bread. Now Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says, you know, in the Reisha we're talking about atzamos aklipin, we said magbihin. We didn't say zorkin. We said you lift them off the table. What, there's a din of kavod for atzamos and klipin? There's no din of kavod for atzamos and klipin. Furthermore, the Gemara in Brachos and Daphne and Beis tells us that Rabbi Yochanan held that it's mutter to be ma'abed pirurim biyad. So how could it be that over here he's saying that it's aser to be ma'abdon biyad, and therefore Tosfos has a different girsa in the Gemara over here, and it's mutter la'abdon biyad. Tosfos says we have to make our Gemara conform to the Gemara Maseches Brachos. It's not that it's aser la'abdon biyad, it's mutter la'abdon biyad. If you have pirurim that are pachas mikazayis, you're allowed to destroy them. There's no din of kavod hapas on such perurin. But anyway, what the Gemara was trying to say is the fact that you're mavrid them me'al ha-shulchan, that they don't have a gezayis because they're meichel behema. So we just mentioned this parenthetical point that in addition to the fact that you can remove them and they're not muktzah, you know, as far as kavod hapas is concerned, our Gemara makes a point of saying, what? According to Rashi, saying there is an inyan of kavod hapas. According to Tosfos, makes a point of saying there's no inyan of kavod hapas. So it's making a point one way or the other. We just don't know what the point is. But the basic element that it's Michael Behema, right? That is clear. Rav Nissim Karelitz writes in the Chut Shani that it's Michael Behema and therefore not Mukta. It's only if you have a Behema around. But if you don't have any Behemas around, so it's Vaita Mukta, meaning if a human wouldn't eat it, and it's only Michael Behema, and you don't have any Behemas, so then it's going to be Mukta. But he says in his experience, Pirur and Pachos Mikazayis is still Michael Adam, that even on a table, unless it's ma'us, unless it's been soaked in something or fell on the floor, so generally considered it's Michael Adam. But he said if it did fall on the floor, and you don't have a behema, then it's muksa. So he says, I have a big kasha. When Shabbos falls Erev Pesach, people sweep up the floors and make sure that every little crumb, how could you pick up the crumbs from the floor? When Shabbos is Erev Pesach, you shouldn't be allowed to do that. It's only not muksa because it's Michael Behema, and Michael Behema is not going to be a heter when you don't have a behema. So he says, obviously, the tzorach mitzvah, it's going to be mutter to even lift up the, even by hand, to lift up the crumbs from the floor that you wouldn't eat anymore. Okay, sa'ar shalapunin. We then said that the certain inedible parts of the beans are maichel behema as well, and therefore you're allowed to lift those off of the table. So money, who's the author of the, who does our Mishnah conform to in this line? Rabbi Shimon. The lesle muksa must be assumed like Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold of such a severe restrictions of muksa, and that's why you're allowed to pick them off of the table. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be also to be metal to them, because they were not omed from Michael Behema or ready for Erev Shabbos, because they were together with the Ochel. And now that you've eaten out the Michael Adam part of it, what's left is the Michael Behema. So that should be Nola. That should be like something that's absolutely Muktza. Say Ema Seifa, but then you go and you say the Seifa of the Mishnah. Svog, Yesh Lo Beis Achiz, Mekan Chumbo, Vimla, Vein Mekan Chumbo. I saw on L'Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Damar Shein Meskavin Aser, that apparently if a Svog has a Beis Achiza, you could clean with it, but if it doesn't have a handle, you're not allowed to clean with it. That seems to be assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why a sponge that doesn't have a handle, you're not allowed to use, because it's a Davar Shein Meskavin, and a Davar Shein Meskavin is Aser. Rabbi Shimon should hold that that's mutter, that a sponge without a handle is mutter, because Rabbi Shimon holds a Davar Shein Meskavin is mutter. So how could our Mishnah in one line follow the sheet of Rabbi Shimon about Mukta, and then in the next line follow the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda about a Davar Shein Meskavin? So sometimes the Gemara will take a question like this and will say, the two machlokas have nothing to do with each other. This is a third Tana who holds like Rabbi Yehuda in this machlokas and holds like Rabbi Shimon in that machlokas. Yeah, that's when we don't have a better answer. But over here, the Gemara has a better answer. Baha, afilu Rabbi Shimon, moda, davai v'rabi, damit havai, moda Rabbi Shimon, psik reishe, v'lo yamos, that even Rabbi Shimon would be moda, that a sponge without a handle is highly problematic. Ah, it's davar shein miskavin, you're not trying to squeeze anything out. Yeah, but it's psik reishe, that you inevitably will squeeze something out, and therefore it's a violation. Hani Gerin Tamri Amriyasa, the pits of Armai dates, Sharul Tiltalinu, you're allowed to be metal to them on Shabbos, Hal V'chazi Nagaviman, since already on Erev Shabbos, the Roy L'Michael Behema, since the whole date, these Armai dates are not edible anyway for human beings, the whole thing was Michael Behema, so the pits are also not going to be Muksa, they're going to be Michael Behema. Udu Parsiyasa, but the seeds of dates that from the Parsiyim, which are very high quality dates and are delicious for people to eat, then Asa, those seeds are going to be Asa to be metal on Shabbos, because when Shabbos started, this was human food, and now the pits are all the only thing that's left, and that's animal food, so that's considered to be nolav and Shabbos, and that's going to be mutza. Shmuel metaltalu agav rifta. So when Shmuel had these dates, he would be metaltal them using a loaf of bread, but he wouldn't be metaltal them on their own. So Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, we're going to see later on, to cut an avela and to be metaltal and put it in front of dogs, but he was machmir himself not to be metaltal mutza, because as we said, an adam chashuv should have extra chumras. So that's what the Balei Tosfos point out, that even though Shmuel Lishitaso should hold that you're allowed to be metaltal even that which is only Michael Behema, but Shmuel was extra machmir in himself because he knew that he was an adam chashuv. So he would use bread as the way to move these date pits. Shmuel the Tamei, Damar Shmuel, also adam kol tzarcho bepas, and this is Shmuel Lishitaso, where he does not think that using bread is a disrespectful thing to do. He doesn't hold that there's such a din of bizayon of pas. So he would use bread for this purpose. Rabba metaltalu agav lukana demaya. Rabba would be metaltal the seeds with a bucket of water that he would spit the seeds into. Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yehoshua avadu kegraf shel rei. He would say that a kli that you would drop the that has something disgusting in it is a graf shel rei. You're allowed to be metaltal. So you gather the seeds together till they became disgusting. And once there are all these date pits are in front of him and it's disgusting to have him out on the table like that. So then it's a graf shel rei. Then it's something that's disgusting. You're allowed to remove from your house on Shabbos. Are you allowed to lechachila make a graf shel rei so that you can be metaltal it? It's only b'di'evit. If you have something disgusting, you're allowed to remove it from your house. But how is Rav Huna allowed to create a disgusting situation in order to be metaltal? Rav Sheshu Zaruklu Belishner. Rav Sheshu just spit it out with his tongue. Rav Papa Zaruklu Achorei Amita. Rav Papa would spit it out behind the bed that he was sitting on so that it wouldn't be disgusting because it was behind the furniture. I guess, come B'dikas Chametz time, they must have found a lot of ants. But he would spit it behind the furniture when he was eating it on Shabbos. Amru Laval Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas. They said about Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas, so this is a Daf Yomi coincidence. Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas is a very important person in the Tisha B'Av, in the Churban Agadatas. So they said about Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas, she'yemakzir panav acharei amita, that he also would turn his face behind the bed and he would just spit out the seeds behind the bed. Now we begin the 22nd parak of Maseches Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, if you have a barrel that has food in it and it breaks and all the food is going to be lost, you can quickly go and save 3 sudos worth of food, and tell other people that they too can save 3 sudos worth of food. The Rishon point out over here in the Magen Avraham writes in Shulchan Aruch and Shem Lamed, hey, that's only if you haven't eaten any of your sudos Shabbos yet. But if you've already ate your Friday night meal, then you're only allowed to save 2 sudos. We had a whole sugya about this before back on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. But if it's the barrel contains a liquid like wine or something like that, then you're not allowed to soak it up in sponges or something in order to save it, because that's a chashash shemi yischot, that you might come to squeeze it out. Similarly, ein soch din asaperus lozi men mashkin, you're not allowed to squeeze out fruits in order to juice them on Shabbos. V'miyasu me'atzman asurin. Not only that, any juices that just come out of fruits are asur to drink them on Shabbos because of a gzera shemi yischot. So you have a fruit platter, and then at the end of the platter, all these juices are gathered at the bottom of the platter. You're not allowed to drink them. It's a gzera shemi yischot according to the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yudah Amar im liyochin ayotzim en moter v'im lemashkin heyotzim en asur. No, it depends. If these are juicing oranges or something, and then juice came out of them, so it's meant to be lemashkin, then that which comes out of them is going to be asur. But if these fruits, it's a plate of cantaloupe and honeydew or whatever, no one ever wanted to juice these things. They were meant to be a fruit platter that you eat the fruit. It was lioflin. Then that which is yotze mehen, the fruit that comes out of them, is the juice that comes out of them, rather, is going to be mutter. Chalos tvash, shariskan me'er of Shabbos. If you have honeycombs that you've already crushed from Erev Shabbos in order that the honey should flow out of them, v'yatzim me'atzman, and then on Shabbos honey continues to flow, asurin, the honey is asur b'achila on that Shabbos, because we're afraid that you're going to take chalos that are not yet crushed up and you're going to crush them up in order to have the honey flow. Reb Lezer mati, Reb Lezer is not choshesh for that you're going to come to do that. But according to everybody, it's only dvash, that they only asur the dvash because of chashash of schita of the chalos that are merusakos b'yadayim, that you're going to come to crush them with your hands to take out the dvash and violate the isser of mefarik. That since the chalos are already crushed and the dvash is of me'elav, it comes out on its own, so even on a weekday it's not the derech to be sochet them. Right? But if you were to actually squeeze them out, that would be a problem. But over here we're talking about that which is already crushed up and squeezed out, so that's what we have in machlokas. Do we asur that dvash because of an additional gzeira? So Tana, lo yisman b'yayin v'leitapech b'shevin, a person should not squeeze out wine from a cloth, nor if he has oil on his hand should he scrape his hand on the edge of a kli to remove the oil from his hand. Because that's considered uvda d'chol. The pashtus is, and the Ritva writes this way over here, that there are two separate halachas over here. You're not allowed to squeeze wine out of a cloth, out of a beged. That's schita. That's not uvda d'chol. And then a second halacha, that you're not allowed to scrape off the oil from your hands. That's uvda d'chol. That's not a violation of schita. It's therefore somewhat curious that the Rambam in the 22nd parak of Hilchos Shabbos writes, "Ubelvad shlo yispok biyayin o yitpach b'shemen." He quotes both of these halachos. Sheim yase kederek shu also bechol shemi yavolide schita. That if you do it like you do on a weekday, then it's going to be schita. So he says that both concerns apply to both of these things. But it's not two concerns, it's one concern. Doing like you would do on a weekday is a chashash schita. That is the uvda d'chol over here that will bring to schita. Shulta Gibram just doesn't understand why scraping oil off of your hand is a chashash schita. Where is that ever going to be a chashash schita? There's no schita in your hands. So it's a little bit difficult to understand that Rambam. Tan Rabban, nispazulo peros b'chatzer. If you have peros that are scattered throughout the chatzer, melaket al yad al yad v'ochel, you could gather them together a little by little and eat them. But you're not allowed to start gathering them into big baskets or boxes, because that's already going to be considered of the duchal, and you're not allowed to do things that are weekday-like activities. We then mentioned in the Mishnah that you're not supposed to squeeze out fruits to draw the juices out of them, but if they came out on their own, they're aser. And Rabbi Yehuda distinguished between peros that are omed l'maichel and peros that are omed l'mashke. So says the Gemara, where exactly is the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Molda hay Rabbi Yehuda l'cham b'zeisim v'anavim. Rabbi Yehuda would agree to the Chachamim when it comes to olives and grapes, that even if you plan on eating these olives and grapes and not juicing them, the mashke that comes out of them is going to be usher to drink. My taima, kivin de l'schita ninu yav daite. And the reason Rabbi Yehuda would be moda is because since most olives and grapes are meant to be squeezed, there's a chashash that when you see liquids already seeping out of them, you're going to change your mind and you'll decide to squeeze these as well. V'ula amar Rav, cholokai Rav Yehuda af b'zeisim v'anavim. And Ula says in the name of Rav that Rabbi Yehuda would disagree even when it comes to zeisim v'anavim. That since they're omid la'achila, there's no chashash that you're going to change your mind and you're going to come to squeeze them. Rabbi Yochanan amar, halacha Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peros, ve'in halacha Rabbi Yehuda b'zeisim v'anavim. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda by other peros that are not that if they're omid la'achila, then the mashke that comes out of them is mutter, but we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda by zeisim. And therefore, by zeisim v'anavim, even if it's omid l'achila, even if you don't plan on squeezing them, you plan on eating these zeisim v'anavim, the mashka shazavu from the zeisim v'anavim are always going to be aser. That is the that is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Moda yiridu l'cham b'zeisim v'anavim, u'modim cham l'Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peros. So Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel tells us that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the chachamim about zeisim v'anavim, that even if they're omid l'achila, any liquid that comes out of them is going to have to be asr. And the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda about Shar Peiros, that if they're only the Achila, whatever lipid comes out of them is mutter. So says Gemara, wait a second. If Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chachamim on some fruits, and all other fruits, the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda, where's the Machlokas? Some of the Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbi Abba, El B'mai Pligi, what's the Machlokas? Some lay, L'chi Tishkach. When you look carefully into the Sugi, you'll find that there is a Machlokas. That Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Mistavra, Betutim, V'rimon and Pligi. There is a middle category of fruits. There are fruits that are sometimes squeezed and sometimes eaten. So according to the Chum, since there are those that are sochet such peros for the juices, so they have the same din as Esim HaNavim, and they're included in the gzera of Mashkim Shazavu being Aser. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, since the generally even Tutim HaNavim are Omid HaAchila, there's no chashash that you're going to come to be sochet. But cantaloupes, things like that, shar peros that are not Omid L'Schita at all, everyone would agree that the Mashkim Shazavu Mehem is going to be mutter. Ditanya, we have a price that says like this, Zesim Shemashach Mehen Shemen, if oil seeps out of olives, V'anavim Shemashach Mehen Yayin, or you have a wine that seeps out of grapes, V'ichnisan, and then you gather it together, Bein Liochel, Bein L'Mashkin, whether it's Almanas to eat it or Almanas to drink them, Hayotze Mehen Aser, whatever comes out of them is going to be Aser, because we're afraid that we're going to be Sochet V'adayin. But Tutim Shemashach Mehen Mayim, Rimonim Shemashach Mehen Yayin, V'ichnisan Liochlin, if your intention was to eat those fruits, then that which seeps out of them is going to be mutter. But if you intended to juice those fruits, or you just stam, you didn't have any intention, then ayotzi man aser div Rabbi Yehuda. Then Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that which emerges from them is aser. But v'cham momrim bein liyachem bein lemashkin ayotzi man aser. The Chum are going to disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they're going to say even if you were machnas them for Oakland, that which emerges from them is going to be aser. So you see that from this price very clearly that the whole machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is by tutim v'rimonim. So Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll pick up with Vesav Rabbi Yehuda toward the bottom of the page. Have a great day, everybody.
Have a good day. Yeah. Thank you very much, Rabbi. Thank you, Rabbi.